Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Reawakening Podcast. I'm Brian Ingraham, and it's my heart to see our whole generation reawakened to walk in fresh, close, long-lasting, life-giving connection to the God of the Bible. I believe this is possible, and I believe it's possible for you, wherever you're at, whatever your story, and with a bit of intentionality and a little bit of running after Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, if it is appropriate to say a little bit of that. I know that God's breakthroughs can happen in your life and in your experience and just in your journey and your story. Today, I get to sit down with three amazing women of God who are part of University of Nations in Kona, Hawaii, and they have been a part of, on staff from, actually, the School of Biblical Studies there on that campus. And they have dedicated their last couple of years to studying the Bible and to running after God and in different mission experiences and now teaching the Bible in their context. And I don't even know what I'm getting into when it comes to the stories that we're about to hear, but I'm excited to hear from them different moments where God just had something for them or a boosting moment in their life and their faith. So we're going to hear three different stories during this time. One from each of them, and just trusting Jesus for this time. So the first person we're going to hear from is this woman named Tegan.
Hello.
Hello, Tegan. Why don't you give a little bit about yourself? Who are you? Where are you from? What's your name?
Yes. So hello, I am Tegan. Some people back home call me Toog, and I've grown up in Bozeman, Montana. Fun fact about me, though, I was a military kid, so I traveled around the world growing up. First place I lived in was South Korea. I was 2 years old. I was a baby model in South Korea. So had a pretty crazy life from the very beginning of, you know, the 22 years that I've been alive. But now I have the absolute honor of living in Kona, Hawaii with such incredible people studying the Bible. I actually first started my Bible study method in Montana, but joined these amazing people out in Kona, Hawaii this past year. And it's just been so life transforming. It's been so fun. And yeah, I think life is a party with Jesus. And I have a lot of fun. I like to go camping. So it's a little bit of who I am.
Wow. So you're from Montana and a South Korean baby model.
Yeah.
Wow. I did not see that coming. I love these podcasts.
Yeah. It is a fun fact. Yes. I don't know if you've ever played Two Truths and a Lie, but I always get people with that one. I would like throw in like an actual, like, just, you know, crazy fact about my life. And then obviously the South Korean baby model, and everyone would be like, oh, that one's a lie. And then I'd be like, no,
oh, I love
that. That one's true.
I love that. Okay. So you've had several Jesus moments in your life.
Oh yeah.
What story would you like to pass on to us today?
Yeah. I think the story that comes to mind when it comes to kind of this walk with God, spiritual transformation, and learning how to trust Jesus in the moments where I'm like, God, what does this word mean? I was in the middle of the school that I now staff, the School of Biblical Studies. It was January, so we were about halfway through. And then some of my staff come up to the front of class and they're like, hey, we have an outreach opportunity. We want to go to Taiwan, and we're just asking people if that's something that they're interested in doing. And at this point in time, Asia was not on my radar, like, at all. I had no interest in going back. You know, it's like, oh, I did the 2 years in South Korea. It was great, but it's time. Like, I was really looking to go somewhere like Brazil, or I know a lot of missionaries like to go to like the Central Asian countries like Turkey or hardest and darkest places, right? And that was just, yeah, Taiwan was especially not on my radar. But for whatever reason, when my staff presented that, Jesus struck my heart and was like, you should go. And I remember sitting in this for like a month and being like, God, this is so random. You've never brought this up in my life. And a little bit about the School of Biblical Studies, your life is completely Bible for 9 months. You don't have the time to really do much else. You're constantly studying, you're in lectures, you're with your other classmates talking about the word, and yeah, there's not a lot of time to like think about other things, in all honesty, which yeah, was great, honestly. But in those moments where I did have the time to just like be with the Lord and think, Taiwan would come up over and over again. You know what? This is clearly what the Lord is bringing me into. I'm gonna say yes to this. I'm gonna go. So I joined the outreach team, and out of nowhere, all of a sudden, like, my team just falls apart. All of our leaders just all of a sudden couldn't go. And I was asked to lead this outreach team, and I was a student. I was like, how, as a student, am I going to lead other students? Like, this is a pretty big task. So this past summer in 2023, I had to lead a team of 8 people to Taiwan, and it was the most life-transforming thing ever. Like, especially stepping into the position of being a leader, it was very stretching. I learned a lot and fell in love with Taiwan, and I want to go back. So God really placed this on my heart, like, out of the blue, but it's transformed my life forever.
So have you ever, you've never been to Taiwan before?
No.
And you have never led a missions team before that
No.
moment? And there you are as a student leading others. Can I then just back up then? And it's like, but you felt like God was making it clear that you were supposed to go on this team from the beginning.
Yes.
For those of us who are like, okay, how does God speak to me? Or how can I know when God's leading me in a certain situation? The things that you were saying was like, well, it just was on my mind. Do you have any other thoughts about that? Or like how God was really clarifying that Taiwan, setting you up for quite an, I'm not saying over, like over your experience, over your normal experience situation to kind of push you. You might not have signed up for it if, hey, I'm looking for you to be the team leader, but maybe you would have. But like, how do you feel like God was bringing that about in your mind?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that pushed me to really listen to Lord in that way when it was on my mind, because, yeah, I mean, we can probably say that a lot as like people who walk in faith of like, oh, it never left my heart. Like, what does that mean? I think the thing that kept with me while I was thinking about it and it was in my mind was during the week where we studied the book of Acts, my teacher emphasized this concept of the 1040 window. And to give a little bit of context of what that is, the 1040 window is a region of the world where like 90% or something like that of the people that live there don't know the gospel. They've never heard of the name Jesus. There's a very small percentage of believers in that region. And in all the places where I felt specifically to go, that wasn't in the 1040 window. And so when God brought Taiwan up and I saw the statistics of the nation and saw that, oh, only like 90% or only 10 or not even 10, I think it was 2%. 2% of the nation is Christian and everyone else is in idolatry and worship of these gods that they live in fear by. And something in my heart was like, they need to know who Jesus is. And it was an opportunity that was just presented before me. And I, in my mind, I'm like, why would I have any reason to say no to this, especially after studying the Bible for 9 months? And what else was I to do that was going to be any better? Like, my options were to just go home and to, you know, go to church, which would have been incredible too. But if I have this opportunity laid in front of me to go share the gospel with people that I've never heard, I didn't want to say no to that. And then God clearly wanted me to be on that team because they needed someone to step up to be in a leadership position. And I just happened to join right at that time where they needed it. And it proved to be the will of God in the end.
Amazing. So would you say, just to be clear, like, that was there grief there? Like, you're seeing the statistics and you're grieving, or is it more of a feeling of, oh, I don't know, like the need is great. Why wouldn't I? Like, you kind of, I wasn't sure exactly how you're articulating it. Is it like a holy grief, or is it a, like, this just seems like the opportunity that's a no-brainer, like right in front of me?
Yeah. I think I'm a very like reasonable intellectual person. So at the beginning, it was just a statistical thing. Like, oh, this is an opportunity. I'm going to take it. Once I arrived, though, and saw the fear of worship and like the fear of these people in Taiwan to like worship their gods and to worship their ancestors so that they can have blessing and that they can have prosperity in their life, that's when my heart was grieved. I actually had to physically go to see like the heart of God of these people being saved, and to like experience that grief of like, oh, these people don't know Jesus. So at the beginning, I think it genuinely was kind of more of a statistical thing and an opportunity to go. And it was just like, yeah, sure. Like, let's just do it. Let's see what God does. But once I got there, I definitely felt the grief of the nation not knowing Jesus.
So boost moment, probably because of just boosted into leadership and out of every known box, never been here, never led like this. And then just like, here we go, Jesus.
Yeah.
That kind of a thing, just unexpectedly out of your comfort zone. I mean, you had some warning, you know, it's not like people just didn't get on the plane, but like, oh man, God's just pushing you out of anybody's probably normal or comfort zone. And how did you respond? How did you feel about that? How did you respond to that?
It was actually the craziest 3 weeks of my life, like learning how to lead, especially learning how to lead alongside people that I had just been colleagues with for like the past 9 months. A lot of my teammates were really checked out, really tired, and didn't really want to engage in ministry. And so being a student leader was like a whole new set of challenges of, God, how do I lead these people? How do I convince them to stay and to engage? So it was this boost of like trusting the Lord, but also at the same time, it was so difficult, like getting adults to be motivated after doing something that was so big, but then seeing the mercy of God over our team and like the grace of God over our team while we were there, as we were connecting with people and we were seeing people come to know the Lord more. And yeah, even though we were not perfect by any means, like God still used our team so kindly and graciously, and we were able to serve in ways that maybe we didn't think that we were going to serve in. And it was a stretching thing for me. It was a time to trust God more than I probably could have if I just went home and did church or something like that.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. So in retrospect, like how do you feel about that whole trip, and how do you kind of bring it together in your mind, that experience with God and leadership?
Yeah, I would say that the 3 weeks that I was in Taiwan, it wasn't what I thought it was going to turn into. It wasn't what I thought God had originally called me there for. It was honestly a really challenging 3 weeks, kind of like I said earlier, just motivating adults and having everyone be on the same page and all of these little twists and turns that I wasn't expecting as a new leader, right? And at the time, while I was in Taiwan, I didn't feel very connected of like, this little short trip doesn't feel like it's going anywhere. But what God was actually doing in that trip was almost felt like preparing me for what was next and what God had for me, because now I have this huge heart for Taiwan, and God has built me up even more as a leader after staffing a school and after running with students this past year. And so even though my time in Taiwan the first time wasn't at all what I expected, I now see why God had me go. I needed the heart. I needed to be grieved over the people. And then he needed me to come staff in Kona and to be a part of a leadership team to kind of get that training and those skills so that one day I could go back and one day I could be engaged with these people and lead others into engagement as well so that they can be reached with the gospel. So it wasn't at all what I expected, but it turned into something where God's just building a plan that I couldn't have seen or known about if I didn't trust him from the beginning.
Am I summing this up accurately to be like, okay, so you had no heart and then an opportunity, which you said yes to, which turned out to be really difficult, but then became more of a big picture, long-term calling sort of a thing?
Yes.
Wow. Okay, that's amazing. It's amazing how God does that. It takes us from not even thinking that way. Wow, I love that. Thank you, Tegan, for your story.
Thank you.
Yeah, now we get to hear from Emma and her story. So Emma, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, and how you got here?
Yeah, hello. My name is Emma. I'm actually Brian's daughter, so this is really fun to get to do this together. So I'm sure he knows the stories that I'm going to tell. But yeah, my name is Emma. I have been with YWAM in Kona for the last 4 years, and specifically with this Bible school that Tegan was just talking about. I was a student about 3 years ago, and I have been staffing ever since, just teaching the Bible and walking with students. So it's been such a joy. It's been a fun season of life, just, you know, traveling and, seeing the world, learning about God. And so it's sweet to be home right now just to, you know, catch up with family and everything. So, yeah, it's a bit about me.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm nervous. I have no idea what story she's about to tell us. But you got a story about, like, a God boost moment or a significant moment that you want to let us in on.
Yeah. So the story I'm going to share is when I decided to jump onto staff with YWAM in Kona. So it starts off with just a lot of uncertainty and it ends with just crazy testimonies of the Lord. But something that Dad, you always told me growing up was, you know, I've now grown up in the church. I have, you know, gone to church every Sunday. I've met the Lord. And Dad always told me, you know, God has fast-tracked you in life. Like, you're going to be set up so well for what's to come. And that was always in the back of my mind of, wow, okay, God, like, you really have something for my life, and I don't know what it is. And so being in Kona at 19, I am studying through the Bible, going our Bible school. We go through the book 5 times in the 9 months. And as I was studying through it at 19, this is in the back of my mind of like, wow, God, you've really set me up well. Like, where is it that you want me to go? What is it that you want me to do? I'll do anything. And he brought up at one point, God was like, hey, I want you to come back and staff this school. So staffing the school means teaching the Bible and discipling. And I'm sitting there 19, and I'm like, absolutely not.
Can I just ask you, you said very casually that God just brought this up. Do you want to clarify on exactly what that means? Like, how did God bring that up? Because all of us want to know how to be clear at hearing God's leading for our lives.
Yeah, honestly, I don't really remember how it came up. The Lord speaks to me a lot through, like, just random thoughts that just come into my head and then just will, like, annoy the heck out of me until I do something about it. And so what had happened was, some of my friends had decided to jump on staff, and I was like, cool, like, I know I'm influenced by other people, so I know that's not for me. Like, I'm not going to do what my friends are doing. Like, I'm going to follow God's call in my life. You know, I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to do the different thing. But then all of a sudden, I kept on just thinking about it. Like, oh, what would it be like to staff? And actually, staffing would be really helpful. You know, I started kind of spiraling in my head of like, wow, okay, staffing would, you know, allow me opportunities to learn how to teach, to learn how to communicate, to learn how to help people as they study the Bible or help people in day-to-day life. And I was like, wow, that skill is not, you know, a bad thing to learn. And even though I'm sitting there thinking, I don't want to do what my friends are doing, in the back of my head, I'm like, okay, but this would be really helpful, you know, thinking fast-tracking. Like, I want to be as prepared as possible for what God wants me to do in life. And so that's kind of how it came up. It wasn't like a very clear word of the Lord. It wasn't like, you know, a dream. It was just me just processing with God of like, okay, like I know that I'm going to follow him, and this seems like the best decision to get me there. And it's continually coming up. And that's kind of how it came up. And so as I'm sitting on it and chewing on it, eventually I was like, nah, like, this is my conclusion. I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go home. I'm going to go to university, which wasn't a bad decision. But that, you know, in the back of my mind, I was like, oh, but, you know, like, there's this crazy opportunity with my friends that I would just learn so much. But I decided no. And one of my other friends, Brendan, had also decided no. Like, we'd both kind of talked about it, and he was like, nah, I'm not going to do it. And so I was like, okay, like, we're fine not to do it. Like, it's not just, I'm not the only one making this decision. And then 2 days later, he comes up to me and he's like, I've said yes to staffing. I'm like, what the heck? We had decided together that we were, you know, not going to do this. Like, I felt okay with it, felt so much peace. And I asked him why. And it really marked me. His answer was, well, I was terrified of what saying yes would mean. Saying yes would mean putting myself out there and teaching, putting myself out there with just, you know, with messing up, you know, teaching, discipling. There's so many opportunities to mess up and to lead people astray. And there's so much fear behind it. But realizing that, you know, saying yes to the Lord often means saying yes to the really hard thing, to the scary thing. And I was sitting there and immediately I was so convicted because I was so scared of public speaking, so scared of, you know, I felt so young, right? I was 19. I was like, no one wants to listen to me, you know, whether that's discipleship or teaching. Like, I was not prepared. And so it was totally a fear-based decision that I had made to go home. And just when he said that, I was like, I need to staff just simply because it's the thing that terrifies me the most, but I know that it's going to grow me the most. So I went up to my leaders and I asked them to staff. And so I've now been on staff for the last 2 years and I have learned so much. It has been the most humbling experience. As you know, you feel like a chicken with your head cut off, running around trying to learn how to prep a teaching, how to articulate a teaching, how to study the Bible. And there's just so many different aspects. And yet it has taught me so much. In the back of my mind, I'm like, hey, God, like, I'm doing this for you. I'm fast tracking my life so that I can go wherever you want me to go and communicate however you want me to communicate. And through that, it's just opened so many doors. And seeing the Lord's faithfulness and the ways that he's taught me.
Wow, that's amazing. So then how did it go when you went on staff and kind of facing those initial fears of potentially like, oh, I don't want to look stupid, or I don't want to fail, or whatever the lies are that try and keep us out of following Jesus.
Yeah.
How did it go? Like, was it easy? Was it wonderful? What happened?
Oh man, it was so hard. It was such a crazy time. And over the summer, I was at home and I was thinking about, okay, I've said yes to this staffing thing. And a lot of my life, I've been so impacted by fear and by anxiety. You know, every single time I would do something that was putting myself out there, I would get so anxious that it would be so crippling. I just could barely move. I was so anxious. So I was looking at this year ahead with so much anxiety. And I was like, God, like, I really need you to help me. You know, I've said yes to this and I am terrified. And the Lord spoke to me in August of 2022. And he said, Emma, by this time next year, your anxiety in this area will be completely gone. And I wrote it down in my journal. I had a picture with it. I was like, okay, Lord, like, I'm writing this down just in faith to see what you're going to do. And the best way to share the story is through three teachings that I did throughout the year. The first one was in October and I taught and it was terrifying. I was so filled with anxiety, just, you know, so shaky, couldn't focus, couldn't eat for days beforehand.
Did you throw up?
Yes, I threw up. I throw up when I'm anxious. Thank you for calling me out on that. And
I've been their friend. I've been
yeah. So just so anxious and throwing up and just unable to eat. And after that, I was like, okay, I'm done. You know, that was 2 days of teaching. And I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. But yet the Lord continues to prompt. So I ended up teaching again in February. And this time I felt fairly more confident. I had more peace of the Lord. And I didn't throw up. I did feel quite anxious during this time. And I stopped eating. But I was able to function a little bit more. I was able to breathe a little bit more. And after that, I was like, okay, like that felt doable. Like if I lived my life with this level of anxiety, I think I could get there. You know, I was like, I think I could overcome. But obviously that's not what God had for me. And I came to a teaching in May. And during this time, I had no anxiety. I walked up and my friends would ask me, Emma, how are you doing? And I was like, oh, I feel great. Like, I'm so excited to be here. Which if you looked back months ago, it was not the story at all. And I didn't really know. I kind of had forgotten this word, honestly, that the Lord had spoken in August of that year. So I went up, I did this teaching in May, and it was fine. I finished it, didn't have any anxiety. And I was traveling over the summer, and I was in Korea. And the Lord sent me down in August. I was in Korea, August of 2023, so a year later. And the Lord told me to go back and look at my notes for the year, because I'd always done it at the beginning of the school year to see what the Lord would say. So I went back and I saw this word that God had spoken, saying that by August of 2023, I will have completely taken away anxiety and any form of ministry or public speaking or anything. And I just sat there and just wept as I looked back at that year and just saw the faithfulness of the Lord. And that is what he had spoken. And that is exactly what he did. So I think it's just such a testimony to, you know, doing the thing that scares you and then just holding on to God and being like, I need your help. You know, the prayer of help, help, help.
Yeah. And there's nothing that you can recall, like between the different steps, like, oh, like I had this breakthrough or that breakthrough. You just kept doing it.
Yeah.
And God had was just faithful to keep his promise.
Yeah.
Throughout the process.
There wasn't like a second word. There wasn't like a reminder. It was just like God spoke. And that's really all he needed to do. And I just had to, I'm so glad I wrote it down that I could look at it. But yeah, there was no other moment where that came up. And then just looking back at the year, I'm still in awe of it. A year later and still walking in this freedom, like there was, yeah, no reminder. It just, God was faithful to what he said.
So many people just do not follow God because of fear. And or fear of failure, fear, anxieties, you know, in your case, like throwing up, in my case, sometimes throwing up, and just like those anxieties are just can so consume us and control us and keep us from God's path and plan. And man, I just love it that you did not let your fears dictate your life, and you didn't let them you can run your decision making, and instead you followed God instead of your fears, and God met you. And man, that's powerful stuff.
Yeah.
So now we get to hear from our third special guest, Maya, and we get to hear her story today. So Maya, tell us a little bit about you and who you are and kind of what's your background here.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, hello, everyone. My name is Maya. I am from Bozeman, Montana, as well as Tegan. Really fun. We grew up together, actually. But yeah, I was born and raised in Bozeman in a very Montana family. So if you think skiing, fly fishing, hunting, that was my childhood. Yes, I was taught all those things, was skiing before I could walk. My dad was a ski coach and a fly fisherman. My younger brother is all in the fly fishing world right now. And that is, yeah, the realm I grew up in. But left Montana right when I finished high school and jumped into the YWAM world. So University of the Nations, Youth with a Mission in Kona, Hawaii, I've been with since 2019 with a little break during the pandemic in there. But yeah, I did DTS with them and then eventually ended up doing School of Biblical Studies as well with Emma and have been on staff with them ever since.
So I remember you saying you have two stories that you want to share, and you're kind of thinking, which is the one? What is the story that you landed on?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I think in reflection and just listening to friends share as well, I have a story in mind with an outreach I went on this past summer to East Asia. And when I was reflecting, I realized that God spoke this place long before with what I needed in mind. So this place in East Asia was somewhere I never really had interest in going to. In my SBS in 2021 and 2022, people would come in and talk about this country, and I can't mention it specifically just with rules of the country, but people would come in and talk about this country and said, hey, you should really go. You should go teach the Bible. You should go minister. And I said, I'm good. I don't have any interest. Felt that way my entire SBS, that whole 9 months. And then that following summer of 2022, in I believe it was the end of July. So I had just finished School of Biblical Studies. I was support raising and getting ready to staff and was just taking a moment to pray in a cafe back home in Montana. Lord, is there anything I'm missing from you? Is there anything I'm just rushing by and not really listening to you about? And the Lord so clearly then brought this country to mind, like out of nowhere. And we've been talking a little bit about hearing the voice of God and how does that look for us individually? And God has spoken in so many different ways in my life through repeated themes from people, through scripture standing out, through waking up with songs or scripture stuck in my head, or yeah, thoughts that come out of nowhere where you're like, this is not me, like not me at all. So I'm sat in this cafe in this in between. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so you said something that I just don't want to run past.
Yes, yeah.
So you were just, before you started talking about the hearing God's voice stuff, which is great, you said you asked God a question, which I would, you said, it came out of your mouth, and I'm like, I hope everyone hears that, because what a powerful question. And you said something along the lines of, you asked God, like, is there anything that you want me to hear? Like, I can't remember exactly what you said there.
Yeah, I asked something along the lines of, is there anything I'm missing? Is there anything I'm rushing by?
What a prayer for people to pray. I mean, that's something I, you know, if you're listening to the podcast, like, you know, you might want to right afterwards, like, God, is there anything I'm missing? What yeah. That's kind of part of the setup for your story.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that came from a place of, okay, I've been home for about a month. I finished my school biblical studies. I went home for the summer. My best friends got married. I was maid of honor, like whirlwind of a couple weeks. And I'd finally sat down and been like, okay, it's time to support raise, time to get ready. And I knew just in my spirit that it'd be so easy just to rush into support raising and like getting ready to staff with YWAM, getting ready for the next thing. And yeah, in a world that's really hurried and fast paced, I often have to pause myself a bit and say, okay, Lord, what am I missing, if anything? So yeah, it's a question I pause on often, but that moment specifically was the Lord used really powerfully. Yeah, and in that time of prayer, he spoke quite a few things, but this country in East Asia jumped out to me. And it was just this thing of kind of brainstorming, throwing ideas out, which often is how I feel like God brings things to mind in prayer, where I'm just writing things on the page and writing things on my journal. And this country came up of leading an outreach to this country later on. And I was like, nope. Like it was, I just had no interest. And I thought, okay, this surely isn't me. So that kind of initial feeling of like, ooh, that's a little intimidating or a little scary. And it wasn't a nope in like, Lord, I'm not doing that. But it's just, oh, this is so not myself. So the Lord spoke that, yeah, in July of 2022. And I wrote it down and I circled it and I kind of just tucked it away. And every single day until I was back in Kona, the beginning of that September, this country came up in my mind and it would pop up on Instagram. Like I didn't say a word to anybody, but it'd pop up on Instagram or one of my friends would randomly ask, hey, do you know anybody who's been here? Like just so much repetition, which is another really common way that God speaks to me is just through things being repeated. So I finished support raising in Montana. I fly back to Kona in September with this place in mind of like, okay, this upcoming summer in 9 or 10 months, I'll lead an outreach here and we'll just see how it goes. And I'm in Kona. I am moving into a new house. My whole family flew out with me. So my parents and my brother flew out to Kona with me this fall of 2022. And they were moving me in for about a week. And in the middle of this week, my parents sat my brother and I down and told us they were divorcing. So it's kind of caught us out of nowhere, kind of wasn't a surprise with my family's history. But it was, yeah, my first year staffing was supposed to be this big, exciting, moving into this new house, getting ready to staff. And then you find out, oh, your family's falling apart. And it was heartbreaking, of course. And my little brother's there with me. He's 3 years younger than me. And it was kind of this, Lord, where do we even go from here? How do we continue on after this conversation when we have 4 more days of this quote unquote vacation with my entire family before they all fly off the island and I stay to staff? And that was what kind of became the forefront of what God was teaching me and bringing me through that year. And to bring this country back into the story, I sit down with our staff, Sierra, who's in charge of outreach, a couple weeks later. So yeah, really reeling in grief, really reeling in difficulty with family falling apart and learning new staff roles. And I'm driving Sierra somewhere in my car. And I say, Sierra, I'm taking a team if that's okay. Like, I was just like, Lord, I know you spoke this. I know this is what you've said. And Sierra goes, great. I also felt that in prayer, that location. And I said, I think Johnny, our friend, is supposed to be my co-leader. And this is before our school has started. This is before anything. She goes, yeah, me too. So it was just this like such clear ways that God spoke in the midst of family falling apart and just knowing, Lord, I have to say this out loud to Sierra. I have to be faithful to say yes in what you've asked me to do. And also say, hey, I think this person is supposed to be my co-leader, even though he doesn't have, like, hasn't said anything about it. And it was such clear confirmation from Sierra of like, yep, I felt this location in prayer as well. Yep, let's do it. Yes, I feel Johnny is a great co-leader, et cetera. So it kind of just began this slow process of getting this team ready. And eventually Johnny gets on board leading outreach. Eventually he continues and yeah, he prays and feels to come on outreach and like lead the team with me. And it wasn't until 6 months later, right? So during this time, we're staffing this first school, we're with students, we're grading, we're doing all this stuff. And also for me, grieving, Right. And like wrestling and having a ton of difficulty in this first year staffing. And we get up to the very end of our school. We graduate, I think it was like 35 students or so who'd studied for 9 months straight, like just major accomplishments for all of these students. And I'm supposed to fly home for a week before we come back to Kona and then go to this country. And the day before I got in this plane, so I'm, oh, Lord, we're going to East Asia. We're getting ready, like getting prepared. We've just graduated students. We're celebrating them. And I get a call from my dad that the divorce is finalizing soon and that he's met somebody else and dating another person, all of this. So again, this heartbreaking, heavy things. And the next day I get on a plane, I fly back to Montana, and this is all like the week before we leave for outreach. And I'm packing up my childhood room and I'm saying goodbye and transitioning out of a ton of grief. And I come back to Kona for our last little training with our students before we leave for outreach, shattered, like have walked through so much grief in those 5 or 6 days that I was back in Montana, and came back like, Lord, you can't be serious that you want me to get on a plane and travel for like 40 plus hours to the middle of nowhere and be in charge of 2 students and teach them how to teach the Bible. You can't be serious. And I had this small crisis with my roommates. I'm like, there's no way that this is what God wants me to do. There's no way this is how he wants me to do it. I don't have anything to give. I feel completely empty. And my roommates talked me off the ledge a little bit, and I got on the plane, and we had 2 students, and Johnny met us there a couple of days later because he had a wedding in the UK. But the months I was in this country were the most healing, transformational, treasured months I've had in my entire life, probably. And it was seeing that God picked me up out of a rock in the middle of the Pacific and dropped me there with the team that I needed to bring healing and restoration that I could have never imagined. And even leading with the co-leader that I led with, one of the most integrous, consistent, kind people that rewrote the narrative of what men can look like, really, in my life. And yeah, leading with him, learning all of that, leading our students as well, and being in a place that was so peaceful and calm, and interacting with people who had never heard the name of Jesus and had never understood the gift of the gospel. And it, at the end of our outreach, I got to this point. I said, Lord, I get it now. You spoke this August of 2022, before my parents were divorcing, before the mess of the year. And you spoke who I was supposed to go with. You put the team together for my sake when you didn't have to. And it was the most humbling moment of, oh, I was so resistant at first. And I was so resistant in the middle of it. And at the end, to look back and see this was everything my heart needed and all the stability my faith needed.
So how do you feel about that when it comes to God asking you to do something big when everything seems to, naturally speaking, be like, stop, just stop and heal and like just back off, and yet God's saying go and big and like some people might be like, well, that's really unhealthy, but you're like, but it's clearly God and he's clearly proven. Do you have any reflections on that aspect?
Yeah I feel like this actually comes up in conversation for me a lot with friends, because we all have different capacities. We all have different, some of us can go and fly from one place to the next over and over and over, and it's restful and fun and delightful and easy and simple. And for me, it's not really that way. My capacity is a bit slower pace, a bit slower just in general. And I think that was something I was really wrestling with in that week before we flew out, where I'm like, Lord, I've got nothing. And it was such a trust exercise to pack my bags and get on the plane and to trust that he is actually the one that sustains me. He is actually the one that will sustain my students. He is the one who will protect us in this country, who will help us with the language barriers, all those things. So I wouldn't say that in my life now, it's always like, oh, the big thing comes up and that's what I jump to, right? there's still that piece of healing that comes and slowing down and taking a moment to really reflect on, like, Lord, where are you going? And it's not a formula you can make, really. But I really learned in that stepping out and in that saying yes, that he's really trustworthy where he goes. And his logic isn't mine. So even though it didn't make sense to me or like most of the people in my life, like, it made sense to the Lord. So I think it's one of those things that can sound a bit daunting when you don't have the experience of it. Like when you hear stories of like, oh, you just flew to East Asia and led an outreach after this like crap year, you know, why? And I'm like, oh, it was God, you know, and it's the peace that surpasses all understanding, really, where, okay, I'm packing my bags, I'm getting on the plane, I don't understand, but I have peace. So it's that understanding that if I'm praying for a peace that surpasses all understanding, I have to give up the right to know. And I have to give up the right to understand. And I just have to go and have faith and trust that he will lead to greener pastures. And that's just undeniable. So yeah, I think it's something in a fast paced world we have to be careful of, to jump to the next best thing, to jump to what's, easy to boast in, maybe, of filling our lives and filling it with all the best good things, but he actually just leads us to where we're supposed to be.
Yeah, I'm sorry for what you went through. Indeed. I have a bit of experience of that same age, and I understand it. It's big stuff. But man, it's amazing God's been with you in these years, in a special way. In a special way, you know, leading you on a path that he wanted you to walk in a journey that is painful and difficult.
Yeah. I think I'd just love to say one more thing, that what I've noticed in the saying yes to the Lord in the middle of grief is that you see him in a different way that you never would have otherwise. That there's times where, like, leaning in grief makes sense, I guess. And there's times where you lean in and nothing checks out and nothing makes sense. And it's in that where you're like, oh, Lord, I see you for who you are. And I see the Messiah who is near to us and who sees us in the difficulty and in her human weakness and human brokenness and grief that, yeah, reflecting on the past couple of years of life, that I wouldn't trade it for the world. Like, in the ideal world, there's not brokenness in family. And in the ideal world, there's not the grief that we have to walk through, right? But in the broken one, it's, okay, Lord, how do I see you in this clearer? And it's, yeah, it feels like such a gift to be able to stand on the testimony that, yeah, he's near us and he's for our good. And I can say that so confidently, even when you're in the middle of it, you maybe feel like you can't. But getting to the outside, or a bit closer to the outside of it, it's that assurance of like, oh, I know that you're faithful to come when I call. And I know that you're faithful to restore.
Good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Wow. I mean, it just seems with all these stories, even just following Jesus. And sometimes Jesus is calling us to go at times where we wouldn't want to go, or go places where we're afraid of, or the time doesn't seem right because it seems like a time to grieve, or, you know, it seems like the time is right. But yet the call of our life is to follow Jesus, whatever he's asking, whenever he's asking it, whatever the challenge, whatever the insecurity, whatever the cost. And as we do that, God shows up in powerful ways, guys. That's fantastic. I do challenge you who are listening, like, is God leading you in a way that maybe doesn't seem to make all the sense? And do continue that discernment process. Do, you know, make sure that you're sensing, is God leading you in this way? But sometimes God leads, and he leads in ways that weren't going to be the way that we were going. Maybe that's why he leads us, because we wouldn't have gone that way naturally. So he actually had to give us some direction because it wouldn't have made sense. But if God's leading, be courageous and go for it. And you'll just get to experience the joy of following God, whatever the ask, whatever the cost, and the reward of doing that. So yeah, that's the challenge. I'm sure that people have come to your mind while you were listening to this podcast, and help them find out about it. Make sure you get this to them. Like, if you found this helpful
and encouraging. I know that others will too. So it'd be great if you would rate a review on wherever you get your podcast, subscribe. But ultimately, we just want people to be helped. I want you to be helped. I want your friends to be helped. I want you to follow Jesus with courage. And it's my heart to see our whole generation reawakened to walk in fresh, close, long-lasting, life-giving connection to the God of the Bible. Some people can fumble through this path alone, but everyone does better with help.